Blog Talk Radio.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see? Your life was the only gift I left for me. To be free. It's amazing with you. I win even if I do. Everything's working for my good for a way.
Come on.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to WBMG Radio. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out here. Today is your day, and if the Lord has blessed you with a child to be a father, we celebrate you and all the fathers that are listening and not listening. Again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Today, my guest is Pastor Floyd Rogers from Fayette, Alabama. He's going to be on the show along with First Lady Ebony Winston Rogers. I got somebody on the line. I find out, is this him? You're calling from 601 area code. Who's that?
That's me. How's it going?
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in, my brother. I just got to make sure that's you. I actually didn't recognize the area code. I thought it was going to be a 205 number. Anyway, can you speak up a little bit? I'm sorry?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I was expecting a 205 number, you know, being in Alabama, 205, you know, that's all.
Oh, yeah. I lived in Hattiesburg for about 5 or 6 months, and I just kept the same line that I had. And actually, this is my personal number.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, everybody, it's WBMG Radio Show, DJ Gatsby. We got Pastor Floyd Rogers on the line. My brother, you want to just give yourself a quick introduction and tell people who you are, where you're from, and what is it that you do?
Yes, my name is Floyd Rogers, Jr., and I'm really not big on the titles, I guess.
Okay.
But people do tell me that I do have my own flock because I'm a regular down at the Fayette County Jail, so I guess that would make me a pastor, you know.
Yes, sir.
Technically speaking, I guess. But yes, I'm a minister, and I've been a minister since 2008. And so what I do is I really just try to encourage people. Can you hear me pretty well?
I hear you fine, man. Listen, we hear you.
Okay. Yes. Really, with what I do, I try to encourage the guys behind prison and jail walls, and I try to encourage the juveniles as well. Basically, try to encourage them, in Christ, and at the same time, try to stop them from going down the road that I went down. Try to save them some of the heartache that I actually, you know, allowed myself to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, well, that's very noble, man. You're very proud of you for that work right there. We give you a round of applause for that, man.
Thank you.
A lot of brothers out here, you know, want to help these young cats that are out here, one of your young brothers here. And, you know, when you have a spiritual foundation, you tend to get the attention of these young brothers and your prison ministry and speaking to at-risk youth and young brothers who, you know, are at risk of going down our lifestyle, man. We need more brothers out here like you doing that, man. So, you know, hats off to you and that work that you're doing. Now, is your wife, Ebony Winston, is she available? She's with us too?
Yes, sir. She's right here.
Yes, how are you?
Okay. How are you doing, Ebony? Miss Rogers, I don't know what to call you. But how are you doing welcome to the show?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Can you tell my listeners?
All right, yeah. I see you guys on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Living Your Best Life. One of my favorite couples, you know, on social media. One of my favorite couples. I follow you guys and, you know, really, really admire you and the work that you're doing. All right, so can you do the same thing as your husband just did? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
All right, my name is Ebony Rogers. I'm an attorney in Fayette, Alabama. I grew up in Boston, Mass., but I've been back here for about 4 years now. So I have a solo practice. My primary focus is probate, criminal, family law, some juvenile as well. And I also have a nonprofit organization mentoring young girls between the ages of 12 and 18.
I knew a little bit about that organization. What is the name of that organization?
It's Dare to Believe Empowerment and Leadership Services Incorporated.
Wow. You know, I got to give you a round of applause for that. Very proud of you. Very, very, very proud of you, and take my hat off to you for being a young lady, you know, doing that type of work, becoming a lawyer, and also giving back to the community by working with the nonprofit organizations to help young girls is huge. And, again, we need more people like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I have some more questions for you. But I have a few quick ones for your husband. Now,
okay.
Now, Mr. Rogers, I don't call you Mr. Rogers, Floyd, or
that's fine.
Something.
That's fine.
anyway, I'm going to ask you, man. How did you get into the ministry? You know, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. And we talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago about the interview, and one of the questions that I always ask these young ministers that come on the show is how they came into the ministry and when did they turn their life over to Christ?
Well, I guess to try to make it short, I remember since a child, you know, people that I didn't even know, they would walk up to me and tell me, you know, that young man right there is going to be a preacher and, you know, stuff like that. I heard that type of stuff, and it went in one ear and out the other, and I was like, yeah, right, whatever. And I was in the streets real heavy, you know. So I definitely I was thinking people had to been out of their mind, you know. So got into a whole lot of trouble as an adolescent because I pretty much grew up in Detroit. And so I really pretty much ended up becoming what I was around. And so my neighborhood was full of drug dealers. And, you know, those were the guys that I saw had all the women, all the money and fancy cars.
Okay.
And I wanted that life. You know, after taking that turn, getting into so much trouble, God finally got my attention one day. I remember my brother had got killed, and I was in a federal holdover facility, and it was a pastor that would come in there and speak, and he was praying one day. All of a sudden, he just stopped praying. He said, God told me to tell you, don't worry about your situation. The only thing he wants you to do is get his word. So as I got into the word, everything else was pretty much history, man. I got into the word, and the word got into me, and before I knew it, man, I couldn't hold it to myself, you know, so I started doing a bunch of studying, you know, as far as different religions, a lot of history, and I just felt like God was calling me to speak, you know, his word and encourage others that don't know him, you know. But I heard T.D. Jakes preach a sermon one time, and he said that God can't be explained to you. He said Christ Jesus basically has to be revealed to you. And I didn't understand that until I actually had to go through it myself, because I was one of those guys that, you know, I don't believe what, you know, what my mama and my grandmama and them was raised up on. I didn't believe, how do I know this is true? And so I just started praying, and the Lord started truly revealing things to me, and I've been pretty much, man, in the ministry ever since. And that was back in 2008.
Okay. All right, so first of all, my condolences going out to your brother. You know, we all family. We can get into that a little later. Condolences going out to you and the family on the loss of him. Very, very... intelligent young brother, you know, knew him for a short time. It was family, but very impressionable as a young man, and sad to hear about his passing. And again, my condolences go out to you and the family on that. All right, so now you Christ speaks to you. You know, you're incarcerated. You lose your brother. I'm sure a lot of other things happen in your life. You come home. So how has your life changed now that you are a preacher? You preach the gospel and you started your prison ministry and things of that nature. How has your life changed since you started doing that, I guess, in Fed or wherever you were at that time? How's your life changed?
Oh, man, my life has changed dramatically, bro. I guess the biggest part is I don't think like how I used to think. And I know the word over there talks about, over there in Romans chapter 12, talks about being renewed in your mind. And, you know, and so I think that's really where God got my attention at. So now I'm able to, I don't even, the things I used to get excited about and I thought was important, they're not important anymore. You know, for me, if I can't be a blessing to anyone else, I don't feel like I've done my part. You know, so I came from once being a selfish individual to a person who actually basically lays down my life to try to look out for the other people, you know. So, and that's what me and my wife do in the community. We try to basically financially educate the individuals that will, you know, are willing to listen. We try to spiritually empower pretty much everyone that we come in contact with, if we can.
Yeah, that's a beautiful. I like that story, man. I like what you've done with your life since you put your life in the streets and the time in prison behind you. Once again, it's DJ Gassy, WBMG Radio. We got Pastor Floyd Rogers and his lovely wife, attorney Ebony Winston Rogers. Ebony,
yes, sir.
Question for you now. You you said you're from Boston. And you're an attorney. Where did you go to college at, and where did you go to law school?
I went to college at Brandeis University, and that's in Waltham, a small town outside of Boston. And I went to law school at Suffolk University Law School, downtown Boston.
Wow, okay. And when did you get your law degree?
2013.
All right, so
I graduated.
Young girl going. Go ahead, I'm listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I graduated 2013 in May. And I was, you know, from Suffolk University Law School. And, you know, a lot of people question or wonder, how did I do it? And I wanted people to know that, you know, I didn't come from a privileged family. My parents, they struggled. They had to make ends meet, especially growing up as a young girl when my mother was a single mother. So it definitely wasn't always easy, but I always knew that I wanted to make a difference in someone's life, and I wanted to achieve and attain more than what I have seen done in the past. So that's, you know, I pursued that path, and I'm thankful that where I am today.
All right, now, my next question was, all right, it sounds like you must have been a good student, bright future, and support of your family. Why did you choose law as a career? I mean, it sounds like you could have went on to be just about anything you wanted to, because being a lawyer is not easy. It's a lot more than just 4 years in college. You have to go through college, law school, and pass the bar. So, you know, at what point in your life did you decide to be a lawyer, and what made you come to that decision?
You know, strangely so, my husband was actually my first client. This was prior to me even going to law school. He had a parole hearing down in Montgomery. And they said, you know, the family pretty much said, well, Ebony, it's on you. What can you do? So I had to prepare my argument, had to gather all my evidence. And I went down there and I went before the parole board. And, you know, my husband was actually released about a week later. So at that point, it was sold. I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my purpose. And I knew that I wanted to. And throughout those years, he also ended up getting into some more trouble. But, it was in my mind and back of my pocket that I needed to fight for justice, fight for those who the one who wasn't always able to attain access to the law. And I, you know, I felt like that, and that was my passion, and I just pursued it.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I'm going to have to get back to that part because you skipped over the fact that you had known him. Obviously, he's in trouble. You're, you know, not an attorney, but obviously you were intelligent enough to help him, you know, but in this case, to the parole board, obviously, to get released. Okay, let me get back to that. I want to get back to that because I want to know how you guys met and when you got married. Now, the other thing is I wanted to know, so you go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
You pass the bar, obviously. And when do you start your practice and where do you start your practice? Did you start your practice? Where did you start your practice and when?
Yeah, I actually ended up, after I graduated from law school, I ended up moving back to Alabama. And I moved back when he was actually released from federal prison. And then I studied for the Alabama bar. And I took and I passed on the first time. And at the time, I was looking for jobs. And because we live in a rural area, it was that I either had to go to Birmingham or Tuscaloosa. So that was anywhere from a 45 minutes to an hour and a half drive.
Sure.
And since I couldn't find any jobs locally, I just opened my own practice. And I opened my practice actually in my house. I knew that if I wanted to get out there, even if I didn't have the means to do it, I didn't want to have all that extra overhead cost. So I started out my house. As my practice began to grow, that's when I opened my office and I got a storefront. And then I actually recently moved about March, and now I'm in a larger space. And I've just been solo ever since. And I said, if somebody don't bring you a chair to the table, sometimes you got to bring your own and do what you got to do. So I did that, and I made it work. It hasn't been easy, but it's definitely been worth it.
Well, I got to give you a round of applause for that. That's amazing. That's an amazing story from where you went in your life to, you know, to want to go to school and education and get a college degree to becoming a lawyer. It seems like you found love along with your passion for law all at the same time.
Yes, sir.
So now I want to get to when did you guys get married? Because I know you're married. You have a wonderful little son, I believe it is, a beautiful little boy. And when did you guys get married? And tell us about your son.
So our son is 21 months. He'll be 21 months this month.
He'll be 2 in
September.
Okay.
He'll actually be. I still got the months down packed, but he'll be 2 in September.
Okay.
And so we got married. Well, I guess I should start from the beginning. We met when we were about. I was 12, and my husband, he was 14 at the time. And when he was
okay.
in Detroit, I was in Boston. But since we're originally from Alabama, we would come down here in the summertime, and we would meet. Throughout those years, we was writing letters, and then it went to having beepers, so we would be able to page each other and call each other back. And then once
wow.
we got old, I was in college, we was taking flight. I was flying down here. He was coming to visit me up there throughout the time that he wasn't, you know, incarcerated, and we just pretty much stayed in contact over the years. And then we got married, and he was released in 2014. We got married the end of 2014. We got married in July of 2015. We had our baby boy in 2017.
Wow. Okay. So things kind of really just took off when you both were, seems like, free and able to start a life together. Man, congratulations on that, man. I got to give a round of applause for that, too, because that's an amazing story. It sounds like you guys are childhood sweethearts. You met as teenagers, and you kept in touch, and you went on, you know, to have a relationship, get married, and start a family. Now, Floyd, question
yeah.
for you.
Yes.
Question for you. Okay, so you started your ministry, your home.
Mm-hmm.
How has this life preaching the word of the gospel, how's your family looking at that? Because I know family, and were they surprised? Were they happy or confused? I'm saying, I know Nadine and all of them were probably saying, you know, I'm sure they were happy, But how has the reaction been from your family and friends, man, since you took on, since your calling to Christ to be a minister?
You know, it's strange because I'm the one who actually, you know, still can't believe it. but
okay.
Everybody else around me is pretty much like, okay, they knew it was coming, like they saw it coming. I guess, you know, because I was always young and hard-headed, and I've been through so much, you know, from, you know, being robbed and shot and, you know, just being in the streets real, real deep. You know, I never thought this was coming, you know, but I guess they saw it coming. So they've been very supportive with everything we're doing, very supportive, you know. Like I said, it surprises me, but they act like, you know, like it wasn't a shock to them. You know, so they've been very supportive of it.
Okay. Now, you said you have a prison ministry. Now, you're traveling to the prisons to speak to inmates. What is the state, county, local, federal? You know, where are you going, and what prisons and jails have you been visiting? I'm just interested about that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm a regular minister here at our local county jail. So I go down there twice a month. And every so often I get called to juvenile detention centers and, you know, places like Tuscaloosa or a couple areas that I'm looking to go into. And, of course, I'm still – I minister to the federal prison through a lot of close friends and guys who became family over the years over email and through just regular physical mail. So I feel like that's really where my ministry is, you know, as far as outreach ministry, rather than just in church. Because I feel like the ministry that God has entrusted me with is further than just, you know, in the four corners of the church. You know, so I don't feel comfortable just, you know, limiting myself and limiting to my ministry within the church.
Okay. I've been following you on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. I recently saw, I think back in February, you spoke at the Hugo Black Federal Courthouse. Tell us about that experience and what was it all about? I'm sorry?
That was crazy. That was crazy. That was actually the same courtroom that I was sentenced in back in 2007.
Wow.
The same federal judge that sentenced me, in front of the same prosecutor who was basically trying to throw the book at me. He was sitting there also. But I was called, my probation officer and the judge had reached out to me, and they said that they had been following everything that I was doing upon my release. And my probation officer kind of shocked me because he said he had been a probation officer for 16 years, and he'd never seen someone come home and do the things that I was doing. You know, so they called me to speak at a graduation for a reentry program at the federal courthouse. So that, like I said, that was a shock to me, especially being in front of the same sentencing judge and the same federal prosecutors and, you know, in front of the class that I spoke in front of. So that was
I saw that.
You know, still, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing to me still. And ever since I've been ministering, it's like God has been doing things that doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make human sense to me at all. You know, so life is a whole lot better on this side.
Yeah, man, we understand things by and by, man. Now, the funny thing about that picture when I saw it on Facebook, I scrolled through a lot because I'm on social media a lot, you know, with my business. And I see you sitting there, and I look at the shield, and I'm like, wait a minute, you in court? You know, what's going on? And then I took
like
the time
to get somebody else.
I had to take some time. I had to take my time and look at that post carefully. And that is an amazing story, man. God will take you to places you never think that you go, man, and have you things that you never think you do. And
mind blowing.
Yeah, man. I wanted to follow up on that, man. Listen, you're doing great work, man. Again, you know, I knew you as a young man, and I've known you as an adult, and met you and your wife. And I've been following you guys and just amazed at what you're doing, you know, because I'm from Fayette. You know, I left there when I was about 8 years old. I visited a lot, you know, since then. But I'm still amazed when I look back on family and friends and see the contributions that they're making to the community there. It gives me hope that things can happen anywhere. You know, I see where your wife, Ebony, you said you thought you were going to have to go to Tuscaloosa or go to Birmingham or somewhere else to start your law practice, and you were actually able to start your practice right there in Fed and become successful, and it continues to grow. Now, I want to ask you, Ebony, about the nonprofit organization that you mentioned when we started. Tell us a bit about that, how it started, and what are your goals and aspirations to accomplish with that organization?
Okay. So Dare to Believe is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And what I do is my goal is to, and mission is to educate, empower, and inspire young women to achieve their goals. So I provide mentorship, setting and achieving academic and personal goals. I provide workshops around self-confidence. I also have guest speakers come in around college prep or, you know, academic, whether it's a counselor or social worker, and try to just get them exposed to different career paths so they can know that, you know, they can be better than whatever they see around them, and they can achieve greatness just by staying focused, putting that, having that faith and having that belief in themselves.
Wow, that's amazing, man. I'm just, my hand claps for these guys keep coming for what you guys are doing. You know, as I said, some of the listeners may not understand the importance or significance to the things that you guys are doing in their community because they don't really know where Fed is, you know, how big it is, the demographics there, you know, the histories of racism and discrimination and things that take place in areas like that in Alabama. To see you guys overcome those struggles, start a life together, and one become a lawyer and one comes into ministry, to me, it's really amazing. I got a caller on the line. I think I know it is. Let me put her in. She must have a question or comment for you guys.
Okay.
All right, caller, you're calling from 404-600. You have a question or comment for Ebony and Floyd? Yes, no. Anyway, whoever that is, I'll give them a chance to speak in a few minutes if they'd like. Back to you guys. So proud of you, man. I'm sure people in the community are. I consider you a power couple. I consider you guys role models, mentors, you know, young people who are giving other people hope that they can and succeed and do whatever it is they need to do. You put God first, and blessings will follow you. And, you know, in case you guys didn't know, me and Floyd, our family, with cousins and Nadine and the whole family down there, we're all family from Fed, and that's where I'm from. I was born down there, man. I'm so proud because really am, and Ebony is you as well. Now we guys met when I was down there visiting a few years ago, and you know, I'm like, oh, wait, this is the same couple? Are these the same? Because we didn't have any discussions about any of those things at that time, and I'm just so proud and happy to see you guys grow as a couple and as a family, you know, with your child. Yeah. Hold on a second. I know this person keeps calling if they want to say something. Hello, you're calling in from 404 area code. Do you have a question or comment? I guess not. Floyd, what can the listeners look forward from you and your ministry in the future?
That's a pretty good question. I guess I'm the type of person that I can't get complacent, and so I'm very ambitious. So, my plans are to basically reach more people, reach many people as I can, as God will allow me to, and I continue to minister to guys recently released from jails and prisons. And I'm praying that the Lord open up doors that I can go back inside of federal prisons and speak to different federal inmates as well, and encourage guys that it is life after incarceration. And also at the same time, I'm praying that God will also open up doors that I can start going to more communities and encouraging our youth to make better decisions. Because like I always say, I lost 10 years of my life that I can never get back. Actually, over 10 years of my life that I can never get back. And it came from making silly decisions, you know. So I want to be able to reach them before they go down that road and be able to shed some light, you know, into the dark situations that they're actually going into and really doesn't know it. That's my goal.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, my prayers are with you, my brother, with what you're doing. The Lord is on your side. He's obviously showing his blessings and favor on you, what you're doing. And like I said, congratulations on all the success that you've had in the ministry.
Thanks.
And Ebony, I see your practice is doing well, and you know your organizations that you found is doing well. What can you know, family, friends, and listeners look forward from you in your law practice in the future?
For my law practice, I ideally want to eventually move me out the way and bring other attorneys in to help support and just be a light to our community, to give them something different that they're not used to. I feel that our community is growing, and we just need more people who's willing to support and actually help our community. So as long as I can do that in any capacity, that's the direction I'm going to go into. The other thing with Dare to Believe, I really want to grow my organization so I can actually get to a point where I can take the girls on trips, take them on college tours, so they can be exposed to things outside of Alabama. That's primarily our goal. So we do a lot. We're trying to work on doing different fundraisings for that, because it's, you know, a lot of times you can be limited to whatever your mind can see. So we can get them out of what they see on a day-to-day basis, and we can open up their minds to realize that there are other opportunities in a whole another world outside of what they see every day. So that's my goal with the girls. As far as business goes, we want to get to the point that we're opening other businesses so we can bring more employment opportunities to our community.
Sure.
We want our people to feel like they can achieve more, they can be more, they can do more, as long as they have their mind and put it to it, and that's what they want to do. So we want to definitely encourage that. I know my husband speaks a lot about financial literacy and really just educating our people, and let them know that they can achieve greatness, and we don't want to make sure we push them to that.
Wow, that's amazing. Like I said, I'm so proud of you guys. Your vision for the future and your careers as well as community is something that definitely needs to be shared. I know there's a lot of support and interest for what you guys are doing. And, you know, I hope you get the word out. All right, now, Ebony, before you go, is there any shout-outs or can you give us some information on how to contact you? For people who live in the area who's in need of legal representation or would like to find out more about your organization, can you just give us a phone number or email address or social media?
Yes, absolutely. So for my law office, it's ebonyrogers.com. That's my website. You can find me at or email me at erogers, R-O-D-G-R-S, law, L-A-W, at gmail.com. I'm also located at 202 3rd Street Northeast, and that's in Fayette, Alabama, between Ellen's Flower Shop and the Fayette Public Library. And that phone number is 205-932-4300. My Dare to Believe organization, we are on Facebook, so you can find us, check us out, like us, comment. We also are open to donations. Anybody want to help support our mission and encourage our young girls? If there's any guest speakers that would like to come and visit us and talk to them and educate us, because I know, you know, I like to expose them to other people other than just myself, we're open to that as well. And we also do some speaking engagements from time to time. If that's something that someone's interested with, feel free to just reach out, contact us, and we'll be available.
Well, okay. All right, and Floyd, can you just tell us where people can reach you on social media and or, you know, to contact you about performing weddings? I see you did weddings or speaking. What's contact information? Can they get in touch with you at?
Well, I'm pretty basic. I'm still just trying to get used to the social media thing, as you can see. So, I'm pretty simple to get in contact with. You can contact me on Facebook, and that's Floyd Rogers Jr. So that's probably the best and probably the only way that you can probably reach me is through social media, on Facebook, actually.
Okay. Well, your wife has extensive contacts through email, social media, website, and a phone number. So I guess you're probably going to always get in touch with you through her as well. Once again, it's DJ Gaffney, WBMG Radio Show. That's for Rogers and Ebony Winston Rogers. Hey, listen, you guys did a fantastic show. Thanks for coming on. I know it was kind of short notice and didn't give you a chance say as much as you wanted to say. But listen, promise me that you guys will come back on at another time. I'd love to have you both talk a little bit more about your community involvement and the difference that you're making in people's lives there in Fayette. Before we go, it is Father's Day. We're saying Happy Father's Day. I wanted to know, Pastor, if you could say a few words or a prayer for all the fathers out there. It is Father's Day, and I had told you that I wanted you to say a few words before the show was over to start. Didn't get a chance to say it then, but could you close us out with a prayer or a few words of inspiration? Father's Day.
Yes, I just want to encourage the fathers out there. And I know one thing about us men, we don't like to show emotions. And sometimes we can get down and out because we're not able to provide or protect in the way that we should or we would like to, for our families and loved ones. And sometimes, the women will beat men down out there, even worse. So I just want to encourage the guys out there, Happy Father's Day. I want to encourage you guys, man, to keep Christ first. And the scripture that I read, back before I got into the ministry, Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord said to call out to me and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you have never known, So I kind of paraphrased that. And ever since I've put Christ first in my life, I'm just a living testimony. God has been doing things, like I said before, that doesn't even make sense at all in my business and also in my ministry. So I'm just grateful for that. Even when it doesn't make sense, I just want to encourage you guys, man, to call out to him anyway. Call out to him and move in faith in what he tells you in his word. And I guarantee you he'll be there. So I want to close this out with a quick prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you right now, Father God. I thank you for my cousin, Jeff, Father, for the ministry that you have given him and the platform that you have given him. I pray, Father, that you continue to use us all, Lord, as your light, Father, that people may get to know you in a more intimate way. I pray, Father God, that you would expand our ministry, expand our businesses, Father, expand our ideas as well, Lord God, that we may be found, Lord, inspiring and encouraging people, Lord. Let them know that there is hope. And so I just thank you, Father God, for this opportunity again. I pray that you continue to just be with us, allow your blessings to rain down on us, and continue to protect us and give us your grace, Father God, and your mercy. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray, asking all these things and more. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, it's been DJ Gatsby, Pastor Floyd Rogers, the First Lady, Ebony Winston Rogers. Just to thank you guys so much for coming on the show, man. I know it's Father's Day. You probably got a dinner to go out to. Your wife cooked you a big dinner, or she's going to take you out to dinner or something special Father's Day. So thank you for taking time out of that Father's Day celebration, man, to come on the show. I look forward to coming down there, seeing you guys, introduce you to my wife, Judith.
Yes, we're looking
and,
forward to
and just and seeing all the family down there, man. So listen, make sure you give my regards to Uncle Ben, Nadine, TJ, Felix, and everybody, man. I can't start naming names, but tell everybody I send my love, man. I love Fayette. That's my home. That's where I was born at. So proud of you guys and what you're doing down there, making a difference in people's lives. And I hope to see you all real soon. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ebony and Floyd.
Thank you. Take care, too, family. All right. God bless.
All right. Good night and God bless. Don't forget, everybody, to check out DJ Gaffney, WBMG Radio, every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 6:30 p.m. to 7. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DJ Gaffney X. Happy Father's Day. Good night. God bless. And everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you be? Your life was the only gift I left for me. To be free. It's amazing.
I appreciate it.
A mystery.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will never leave.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to be like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through,
hey.
Everything's working for my good, for my way.
Let me tell you what he does.
He saves the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah.
He won't know that's not what superheroes do.
Not real superheroes.
No greater love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
And I promise you,
all I want to do is make you proud of me.
That's why
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody. Love nobody but you.
I thirst all over.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
That's right.
I don't wanna love nobody.
And the church saying, come on! Jesus loving you
will be the death of me.
It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Let me tell you what it means.
More less of me.
That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Father,
I don't wanna love nobody, love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody, love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
he won't know that's not what superheroes do.
See, I will never find
no greater love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody, love nobody but you.